All right, Harvest family, let's get in God's word this morning. Grab a seat and turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 is our passage. Get there in your Bible. And the title today is Let My Insecurity Go. We have been looking at the beginning of Exodus 1 through 4. Today kind of finishes the introduction to Exodus. As we talked about, there are so many patterns that are in the Bible that are really introduced to us in these first four chapters. And we've seen for the past few weeks that Moses is a really insecure guy. He has a lot of things that are in his head and that he's in his head about. And we saw last week as Tim preached and the week prior a little bit that Moses, this man that all of us respect so much because he's the guy that would go to Pharaoh and be like, let my people go to the most powerful man in the world. We think of him like that. But before he was like that, he was really in his head. He was really insecure. He's asking questions like, how can I do this? I can't talk. I don't know who I am. If I'm a Hebrew person or if I'm an Egyptian person, I don't know if these people are going to lead me. Those elders of Israel, I got to go lead them. He had all of these questions. He was super in his head. He was very insecure. He was insecure about how he looked, how he sounded, where he was, his past, all of these things. And then in the midst of all of that, we see the Lord God drawing him out of those insecurities and helping Moses see who God is and trust his plan. And that's our task today as we're in Exodus 4 together as a church family. And so I want to ask you, what are your insecurities? I don't want you to answer that because that would be awkward publicly. But what are they? What are you thinking about? Like, what's holding you back? Maybe when you look in the mirror or you start your day or you're around certain types of people, what are you insecure about? And what I pray the Spirit of God would minister to you about today is to help you away from thinking about yourself and to help you toward thinking about God and to help you away from thinking about what others think and to help you toward thinking about what God has you doing for others. And Moses is in that category. I think I would dare to say that Moses is probably more insecure than any of us have been. And he's being called to do things that are greater than any of us are being called to do. And so we're in a spot where we can learn a lot from this and we can bring so much of this into our lives. So I pray that the Spirit of God would mercifully give us some transformation today as we get into this passage. So here's our big idea from Exodus 4. It's this, that God graciously gives us identity. God graciously gives us identity, which delivers us from our insecurities. You might think like, man, security delivers me from insecurity. But really, it's the security of identity that God would give us that delivers us from our insecurity. So I want to give us today five things that help us say, let my insecurities go. So maybe you're here today and you're holding on to your insecurities tight. You're like, this is all I think about. It's holding me back from everything. And I pray today, each of these five things would just be a loosening of your grip on those things, your fear of those things, your insecurity of those things, so that the Lord could draw out of you your insecurities and help you to see him. So here's the first one from verses 1 through 9. This is how God is helping Moses get out of his own insecurities. The first one is this, that God makes custom signs. All right? God makes custom signs. So verse 1, Exodus 4, it says, then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. All right, so Moses right here is thinking, this plan, it's not going to work, God. God has called him to go to the elders, that's the they of verse 1, and to tell them that God has met with Moses and that God has told Moses that Moses is going to help lead all of the people Israel out of their slavery in Egypt and free them in this powerful, miraculous way. And so Moses kind of says a relatively reasonable thing here, though it's tricky because he's saying it to God, so this is disbelief here, but God is asking him to do a really big thing. And so what does God do? I mean, this passage is so full of God's mercy. It's amazing. What is God going to do? He's going to give Moses three signs that Moses is going to give to those elders so that the elders would believe. Now, before we look at these three signs. I want to warn all of us that these three custom signs were for those elders then, all right? Do not try this at home, all right? Sometimes Christians read the Bible and it's like totally a then thing and you're trying to apply it to now and the rest of us are like, yo, that's a then thing, okay? This is a then thing, and what we're gonna pull out is how God still gives custom signs, and we'll talk about that toward the end of this point. So let's look at these signs. First sign is a snake turned into a staff, okay? From verses 3-5. These are signs that Moses would do to the elders to help them believe. It says, and he said, or verse 2, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. Correct, Moses, good job. You ran from the serpent. All right, next phrase is, but the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. I would have been like, man, Lord, you're telling me to do such hard stuff already. Now I got to catch a snake. Are you serious? So put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and he caught it and it became a staff in his hand. And then look at verse 5. Very interesting. It says, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. So how is a snake, how is a staff turned snake turned staff going to convince these elders that God has appeared to Moses? That's the question that we got to be asking. We're like, that's a custom sign. Like, I think if God had me do that, I don't know that I would have gotten it. So God wants the elders to what? To believe. This isn't a pick a card, any card thing, you know? This isn't some magic trick. The goal is that they would believe. So we know it's intended for them to believe. So here's what's going on here. We know from chapter 1, from the language, that Pharaoh had subjected, he's basically treating God's people as snakes. He'd subjected them to hard work on the ground, in the sand, hard labor. And what is God going to do? So Israel is a staff. It's who God the shepherd loves. Pharaoh laid them on the ground in slavery. And what is God going to do? He's going to stand them up again, and he's going to walk them out under his shepherding leadership, right? That's sign one. The elders, as they're thinking about this, might be like, man, I believe this. This is awesome. I see this. They would maybe understand some of this. But in case they didn't get it, here's a second sign, verses 6-8. The second sign is a leprous hand turned to a healthy hand. Verse 6, again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses goes like this. He puts his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. And so he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. So normal hand, healthy, in the cloak, pulls it out, leprous, puts it back in, normal again. And then it says, if they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. So here's the second sign, the leprous hand. So what's going on here? We remember from chapter 1, that Pharaoh is killing the baby boys. He asked all the midwives to do it. The midwives wouldn't do it, right? And then he asks everyone in Egypt to do it. Kill the baby boys. And so y'all, a lot of that happened. And so this word here for leprous is basically used elsewhere in the Old Testament for dead flesh. This is very vivid. And so this is like death has come out. Death has happened. But what is God going to do? He's going to bring life from this death. That's the second sign. And then here's the third sign from verse 9. It said, if they will not believe even those two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So this is the third and the least subtle of all of these signs, because we already know about this one, right? God's got one of God's judgments against them, or one of the plagues is going to be the Nile turning to blood. So we as readers now looking back are like, okay, God is pointing out to these elders that he knows of their sin and he is going to judge Egypt for their sin. But the elders hearing this are going to be like, God is listening. God knows. God sees. And those are things that help these elders to believe. So Moses' instruction is to go and take these signs for them then to the elders that they may what? That they may believe. All right? Maybe you're thinking, cool signs. Cool signs. Does God give signs now? And the answer is yes. But I think a lot of people are like, he gives really interesting signs that I interpret myself and nobody else think they're signs. And so let's talk about the actual sign that Jesus gives. So in Matthew 12, some leaders come to Matthew and they're like, Lord, give us a sign. And so what does Matthew say? What does Jesus say? He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. All right, why is that generation, this is the scribes, the Pharisees, why are they called an evil and adulterous generation? It's because they just wanted a magic trick. They just wanted to be entertained. He's like, that's evil. You got to come to faith. You got to be saved. You got to become righteous. And then in verse 40, he says, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus saying the sign for us in this era is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you're like, man, is that a powerful sign for me to believe the power of God? Absolutely. I mean, think about it for 1 second. And you're like, what else do we need? That Jesus is God, that Jesus can do anything, that all of my insecurities are silly compared to his ability, that all my doubts of his ability are silly, right? We just take the resurrection, we apply it into our heads and our hearts and our lives, and we're like, this is our sign that God can do it. Not that I can do it, but that God can do it, that God is real, that God does know us, that God has come down, that God has dealt with death, that God has dealt with sin, that God has dealt with weakness. He's come, he's here, he hears our cry, he sees us, and he's acted, and he rose from the dead, so he can do anything. And that helps me out of my bad attitude, or it helps me out of my disbelief, or it helps me out of my self and being in my own head. So the first thing today that we see that helps us get out of our insecurities is that God makes custom signs, the greatest of which is his resurrection. Here's the second sign, or the second thing that we have that helps us out of our insecurities. It's that God gives powerful identity. From verses 10 through 17, if you're an insecure person, which all of us are, me included, then we need powerful identity, not our identity. We need better identity. We don't need someone else's. We don't need what someone else is telling us to do or be or look like or sound like. We need God telling us those things and to take up his identity because he never changes. And so let's get it from our creator, not from his other created things. God gives powerful identity. Look at 10 through 17. It says, but Moses said to the Lord, and we're like, okay, he keeps doing it, right? But God, he says, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. Pause. So there's this little window here into Moses' experience. Moses gets called to go do these things, to talk to the elders, to talk to Pharaoh. And so you imagine that Moses was like, well, I can't talk well. I can't talk good. And so maybe God's going to change that. But God hasn't changed that for him yet, right? He just says, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. Well, clearly, if he's called me to talk to everybody, he's going to make me better at it. And God hadn't yet done that. And so Moses is like, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. So then the Lord says to him, doggone it, Moses, you're great. You can do it. That's not what God says to him. That's what we say to one another. We're like, you can do it, buddy. Go for it. And you know what that is? It's a bunch of other horizontal stuff. Like we're in our heads insecure and we're thinking about ourselves. Horizontal. It's like just navel gazing. And then when you go to your Christian brother or sister, you're like, I'm having a hard time. And you want them to just affirm you and how great you are. You're basically encouraging your brother or sister to navel gaze with you, which is very awkward, right? Like, just look at my navel. I'm sorry. So what God is going to do here is he's going to teach all of us. It's like God is counseling Moses here and all of us in this moment to just look up, lift your eyes. That's how you get out of insecurity. What does God say to him? The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Answer, church, God, right? Who's made your mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? That last phrase there is like, I'm the one, God is the one that can make someone spiritually see, spiritually hear, spiritually understand. Then verse 12, now therefore go and I will be with your, what? Your mouth. I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak. All right, so this is really cool. Previously in chapter 3, verse 12, God said, I will be with you. And Moses could have been like, that's all I need, I'm good. And it wasn't enough for him, nor is it enough for us generally, because we're all still insecure. By the way, Jesus will say, I will be with you to the end of the age, in resurrected form, at the Great Commission, at the end of every gospel, I will be with you. He's saying the same thing, same message through all of Scripture, God is with you. But here in this passage, God takes it even deeper. I will be with your mouth. Do you see God seeing the thing that Moses is insecure about and going right at it? Do y'all see that? He does the same thing for us. I will be with your mouth. I will be with your, whatever it is. Let him minister to you. Notice, God is identifying his own ability here, not Moses's. He's not saying, but Moses, you got a great resume. I mean, you're like, you're Hebrew and you're Egyptian and you were there and you're here and you're a shepherd and you're gonna shepherd. He doesn't list Moses's resume. He lists his own resume. And he's trying to help Moses out of his insecurity so he can properly lead God's people. And look at the rest of these verses. Verse 13, but then he said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. So y'all know when you're talking to someone and it's just easier to talk about someone else in this moment, even though we're all insecure. You know when you're talking to someone and you're trying to help them towards something and then they're like, but, and you realize, oh, there's something deeper. So it's like layer off. Oh, there's something another layer off. There's something even deeper. Really, Moses is like, I don't want to do this. I don't think I can do this. And you're getting to the core thing. And often that's what the process of getting through our insecurities, God drawing them out, does. It really exposes us. Like, here's a dumb thing I think, here's a dumb thing I think, here's a dumb thing I think. And then God's like, okay, now we're at the center. Let's deal with that and let you grow out of those things into a new person that I'm creating you to be. Verse 14, first time in the scripture God is angry, it says, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. So God already has him coming. God knows everything we need. And God's like, that guy can speak well, but he's not the one I'm calling. Sometimes we think we got to have all the strength in order for, it's like we got to affirm God's call in our lives to match the strength that we have. But we know throughout the scriptures that God uses weak people to do his powerful things. Like Paul would say, or Jesus would say to Paul, my power is made perfect in your weakness. And so Paul learns to like magnify his weaknesses so that other people would be like, that guy's weak, but his God is strong. And we're parading around all the time trying to make ourselves look strong when God's like, just be honest that you're weak and I'll minister to you through you powerfully. I'll minister to you and through you powerfully. So look at verse 15. You shall speak to Aaron and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and you and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. That doesn't mean Aaron's going to have an idol of Moses. It just means that God is going to speak to Moses. Moses is going to give instructions to Aaron. Aaron's going to talk to everyone else, but God still wants Moses to be doing those things as well. Verse 17, and take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Moses in this moment is like many of us are, and he's just struggling. He's between his identities. He's like, I can't talk. I'm here in Midian. I'm in the wilderness. I was born into a Hebrew family. Then I was a young pro while I was in the Pharaoh's palace. Like, I'm not sure who I am. And in many ways, he's straddling the fence, and he's trying to figure that out, and he's trying to play both sides. And that is one absolute surefire way to remain insecure is to try to play both sides, because you're like, I'm this person one day, I'm this person another day. Just be the person of God under the Lord and grow in him. That's the invitation of this passage. All of us have shame from our past. I have shame from my past. All of us are worried about what people think of us now. I am worried about what people think of me now. All of us are. And the invitation of this passage is to let God give you his powerful identity, his powerful ability. Let that into your weakness open up and say, okay, God, deep down, Moses here, I just don't want to do it. And God's like, okay, let me work with that. We're getting somewhere. We're thinking, Lord, is the identity that you give me real? Because my past and my shame and all of these things are so real to me. What God is doing here with Aaron is really a beautiful thing. Because Moses is unsure who he is. He's unsure who he is. And so by God saying, your brother Aaron, it informs Moses that God sees Moses as a Hebrew. Moses is thinking, am I a Hebrew or am I an Egyptian? And just by God saying, your brother Aaron, Moses is thinking, okay, that helps me know who I am. And then think about this too. Pharaoh, to whom Moses is gonna go and say, let my people go. Do you know who Pharaoh is? Pharaoh is Moses' brother. Because we know Pharaoh died and now the new Pharaoh is in town, and that's the Pharaoh that Moses likely grew up with, was training with, in the palace with. So when Moses goes to Pharaoh, they know each other. Moses is gonna tell his brother, let my people go. He's gotta decide, I'm with God, not with family, in this sense. So while God's giving him an identity, he's understanding more and more, this is a big call. This is a big thing for me to do. And we got to believe that God can give us identity and ability to do these hard things in our life. And we're watching him do it with Moses. It was only when Moses knew his identity in God that his five insecurities were satisfied. So I want to ask you, just pause for a minute and ask you some applicational questions. Are you firmly in Christ or are you straddling the fence? Like a little Jesus, a little world, that doesn't work. Are you Christian around some people, but not really around others? And just know that God gives powerful identity. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians says that the old is gone, like present tense. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. So then it's a matter of letting it be gone. Okay, so we've seen. We're looking at ways today that God draws us out of our insecurities, and we've seen that God makes custom signs and he gives powerful identity. Here's the next one. This is fun. God sets mission reminders. God sets mission reminders. Look at verses 18 through 23. Like we're starting to get some movement, but we're maybe forgetting about the big things. And so God reminds us of those big things. It says, verse 18 through 23, Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go back to my fathers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. All right, so there's one risk that is abated now some, but plenty of others. Verse 20, so Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. Man, if that doesn't sound like Luke 1. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. Reminder, right? But I will harden his heart that he will not let the people go. We'll talk more about that in the future. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son. All right, that word firstborn is used twice there. Important for the next paragraph. But notice here that God is setting mission reminders. What's Moses doing? He's going back to Egypt. He's on the move now. Like he's asked his insecurity questions. God has satisfied them. Moses is starting to maybe own it. He's starting to move. And so as he's going to Egypt with his family, God is talking to him and saying, hey, remember, here's the main things. You got to go to the elders. You're going to go to Pharaoh. And then as you're taking these steps of faith, I'm going to give you a little more intel. And we talk about that a lot. When we take a step of faith, when you take a step of faith, you get more information from the Lord. He doesn't front load you with it because it would probably explode you, right? Like we can't handle all of that at once, but we take a step of faith and God gives us a little more intel. We take a step of faith. He gives us a little more intel. That's happening here. He's setting mission reminders for us. Y'all, this past week, I was doing so many important little things Monday through Wednesday that I got really behind on sermon prep. And I went to bed Wednesday night stressed out. I woke up Thursday morning stressed out. So I told Vanessa, I'm like, I just spent the first 30 minutes in bed praying. I'm like, God, you've got to meet with me today. You've got to give me this because I've been doing good things. I've been in doing important things, but I haven't been doing the main things. And so God in that moment was reminding me of those main things. He was empowering me that day for the sermon to come. And I was so thankful for that. God was essentially setting mission reminders for me. He's like, hey, good job being busy, but hey, you're missing the main things. So all of us have different, littler, important things, but all of us share the same big things. All of us believers. And those big things are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Those three things, love God, love one another, love others. So I want to encourage you, as you're moving, as you're getting some momentum, to let God remind you of these things as you are going and to take a daily and weekly break. All right, God sets mission reminders. Here's the fourth one. It's that God delivers along the way. Now, God delivers along the way, 24 to 26. Now, these three verses are perhaps the three most weird verses in all of the Old Testament. We could maybe set up some level of competition about that in the future. Could be fun. But listen, I'm pretty sure these win. I cannot expound these in the time I have, but I'm going to give you the basics, okay? Here's 24 through 26. Now, I want you to feel the flow of this passage, right? Moses, he's kind of done with his questions. God is drawing insecurities out of him. He's on the move now. We start to get some momentum, and then there's this wild and crazy three verses here that say, at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put Moses to death. What? 25, then Zipporah, his wife, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. Verse 26, so he let him alone, God let him alone, and it was then that Zipporah said, a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Those are moments when you're reading your Bible and you're like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I thought we were in a flow. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm learning. I'm studying the scriptures. But God, I do not know what to do with those three verses. So you have several options. One is you just keep reading, you know? Another option is you never read it again. Bad option, right? Third option is for you to think that was weird and God is very intentional and we can do hard things, right? Why would God put these three verses right here? What is going on? And so we think like, okay, Lord, cup of coffee. And let me think about what are some key words here? What's going on? What's happened in the previous paragraph? I think that firstborn thing was probably some clue thing because when I think about circumcision and Abraham, firstborn, okay, what's going on? And we're realizing like God was gonna put him to death. So God just delivered Moses while Moses is on the way. What was Moses missing? And then you're like, circumcision. And you're like, okay, well, what is that? Well, it's the mark of identification with God. Okay, so either Moses wasn't circumcised, or I think Moses probably was, or his son Gershom wasn't. But either way, Moses, the dad, in this moment, hadn't done the one thing for his family that identifies the people with God and God's purposes. And here's Moses about to go to Pharaoh and be like, hey, your firstborn are all going to die. But Moses hadn't done the one thing with his firstborn that he's supposed to do. And so God's like, hey, man, you got to do this. It makes us wonder if there's just way more to this story. Like, God's really after Moses for this. Moses wasn't repenting of it. Moses wasn't doing it. It's just like continuing to kick the can, kick the can, kick the can. His wife Zipporah is like, Moses, for crying out loud, come on. And then she takes matters into her own hands and ends up being the seventh of seven women in Exodus 1 through 4 who are saving the day while Moses is just a hot mess. So we all know that when God calls out something in our life, he provides a means for us to be delivered, right? The ultimate example of that is Jesus Christ. Christ comes, we're sinners dead in our sin. Jesus dies on the cross to forgive us our sin. Then he rises from the dead. He gives us means to be forgiven, right? There's language here that it's pointing toward the blood that would go on the doorpost, the touch language, right? You've got to identify with God's means of provision for you to be cleansed of your sin, to identify with the Lord. So all of those things are happening. Small group leaders, you're welcome. Have an awesome small group discussion this week. Sometimes we're hard at work, we're doing job stuff, family stuff, just stuff. And God mercifully confronts you with something that you are woefully missing or unrepentant about. And what does God do? What does he provide? He provides for you a means to get it right, to obey him. It could be through your wife. It could be through your husband. It could be through a friend. It could be through reading the scriptures. So in your momentum, don't miss that the deliverance and the deliverer that you need along the way. And then here's the last one, and it gets a lot more exciting just for a moment. And it's this, that God will keep his word. God will keep his word. It's one of the big things that we doubt, right? Man, there's huge things that God's said, and man, I don't know if I can believe them because I live on this earth, and man, part of living on this earth is doubt. But we see in 27 through 30 that he keeps his word, and that is strong enough to draw you out of insecurity. It says, the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him, just a customary greeting. 28, and Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak and all the signs that he commanded him to do. Good job, Moses, right? Like he's doing it. Good job, good job. And then Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders. Good job, Moses, you're doing it. And then all the people. And you're like, wait, God didn't really tell him to do that yet. More to come on this. Basically, Moses is getting some things right, but he's not doing things exactly God's way. More to come on that. Verse 30, Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And you're like, sweet, you did the signs, but Aaron did them, not Moses. And you're like, that's a little confusing. I don't think Moses did it exactly right. Maybe he's still in his head. Maybe he's still insecure. And of course he is. All of us are. We're on this side of heaven, right? I relate to this. Just trying to do it right. And then verse 31, the grace of God, y'all, the grace of God. Verse 31 is awesome. Exodus 4:31 is awesome. It says, and the people believed. Amen, right? That's the whole thing. That the elders would believe, that the people would believe. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, they hear that through these signs. They bowed their heads and what? They worshiped. And God did all this through Mr. Insecurity, Moses, who still honestly is messing up in verses 20, 29 and 30. God kept his word by bringing Aaron on board. God kept his word by the signs working. God kept his word by the elders believing. God even extended his word and fast forwarded it by the people believing. And now the people are worshiping. And Moses is like holding this staff thinking, I am nothing. God is everything. Let my insecurities go. Do you know how to let your insecurities go? You hold on to something better. And that is exactly what God's doing here. It's exactly what God is teaching Moses to do. You let your insecurities go by holding on to something better. It's exactly what Jesus taught. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind. Not a portion of it, but all. And as you're loving the Lord like that, you're letting go of all the other stuff, and that's how insecurities go. There's no other way to do it. So if you are here today and you haven't grabbed on to God so that you can let go of your insecurities, do it. You know what? That's all of us. We all have insecurities, and we got to grab on to God so that we can change, so that he can walk us out of them. He's our shepherd, standing us up and walking us out of our insecurities. He's the one turning death to life. He's the one that gave his blood so that we could be cleansed by that and live by that. He's reversing everything. He's turning everything right side up, and we got to walk with him, because otherwise we're going to stay upside down. We got to walk with him. It's what he's doing. We got to look to him. So what's holding you back? Your sins. Is it your sins? Confess unto the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Is it your idols? And let's just name probably your main idol, which is yourself. Myself. Because that's what this passage is about. Let go of that and just serve God, worship him. And grab onto the love of God through Jesus Christ, the superior, never-ending love of God through Christ. Let's pray together. God, you're doing a lot of work in this passage. And Moses is doing very little. And what a great example that is for us as we think about our insecurities. You're doing a lot of work. And all we got to do is just see it. Listen to who you say that we are. Listen to who you say that you are. And to believe it. To stop saying, but God, with our excuses, and to start taking a step. And then yet let you give us a little more, and then another step, and you give us a little bit more. And eventually we realize you've separated us from so many insecurities. We still carry them. They're still gonna taint the way that we think, because we're human beings and we're on this side of perfection in heaven when you glorify our bodies, and all the sin and sadness and darkness and disease, and all that is gone. But God, here you are absolutely drawing out our insecurities. And we praise you for the example that we see in Moses. It is the example in all of scriptures about an insecure man being delivered from it through you. And so God, I pray we'd all take it to heart. We'd realize who you are. We'd realize your tremendous, gracious patience. Even in your anger, you provide a way. You keep helping us. You keep providing. You've given us Jesus. Then you remind us of Jesus. Jesus, you give us yourself. And then you send us the Spirit, whose primary purpose is to remind us of you, Lord Jesus. You're doing all the things. You've got it all set up. All we've got to do is just listen. So give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Help us let go of our death grip on our insecurities. Thinking about ourselves, thinking about what other people think of us, thinking about, can we do it? Can you do it? Help us let go of that and to instead grab onto loving you, loving one another, and loving others. And God, would you deliver us? Deliver us to yourself and away from our insecurities. We pray this in Jesus' name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.